This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما. So are you ready to begin the book now? متن العقيدة الواسطية. So in our last class, I gave you some reminders of the students of knowledge, meaning anyone who is seeking knowledge, such knowledge that should benefit him, there are some things that he must do. And of those things are صدقة. صدقة of what? Of the ilm that he has gained, and also صدقة of مال. Why? To show gratitude. Because ilm is a blessing. And it's not just a blessing, it's a treasure. It is the treasure which has been left by who? The prophets of Allah. So when a person is receiving a share of a treasure, then he should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure to give sadaqah. So we learned last time from the life of the author, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Did you give any sadaqah from that wealth of knowledge? Who did you give that sadaqah to? Okay, your children. What did you tell them?
I told my son, oh, you know what we learned today? And I told him about Ibn Taymiyyah. He said, click on. He said, Mommy, I already know. And he put the thing, whole biography on for me again. He said, you want to watch it again? I said, yes, I want to watch it again. Amazing. And I listened to the whole autobiography again. It was so beautiful. And I sent it to everybody I could think of.
Very good, mashallah. Excellent. Anybody else?
We talked about Ibn Taymiyyah, alhamdulillah, for a long time, and then we just seriously couldn't believe that how one person can achieve so much in his lifetime. Subhanallah, it was amazing.
It is truly marvelous that one person, and not a very long life, he died in his 60s. How is it that he managed to achieve so much, not just knowledge, but even his contributions? This is a source of great motivation for people. Okay, before we actually begin the book, which inshallah, we will begin today, inshallah. Just a quick review. With respect to aqidah, with respect to tawheed, with respect to our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our khaliq, our malik. Because if you looked at the book, you may have come across many, many verses in this book that talk about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, His hearing, His seeing, His coming, so on and so forth. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for what purpose? For the purpose of worshipping Him. It is as though the purpose of our existence is to worship our Lord. Who is our Lord? Who is Ar-Rabb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is He? Ma'bud, meaning the one who is being worshipped. And who are we? The ibad, the servants, the worshippers. So one is He who is being worshipped, and the other is He who is worshipping. Now the ma'bud, the one who is being worshipped, the Lord, does He know the abd? Does He know the servant? Okay. How? Why? Because He is the one who created. The question is, does the abd know the ma'bud? Do we as servants know our master? Should the servant know the master? What do you think? Is it important to know the one whom we are worshipping day and night, whom we are required to love and adore and respect and fear, the one for whose sake we are striving every day, and through our efforts we strive to attain His pleasure? So is it not necessary to know Him? Okay. So if we don't know who He is, then what kind of worship would that be? Shallow. It will not be that meaningful. It will not be proper the way it should be. If you think about it, worship is what? Part of worship is love. And when you love someone, what's the first thing? That you better know them. What kind of love is it if a person doesn't know the beloved? What kind of fear is it if a person does not know the one whom he fears? And this is the reason why our worship lacks love and fear. Our worship lacks consistency. What is the reason? That we lack in our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we stand in prayer, why is it that we cannot pay attention? Why is it that we are constantly distracted? Why is it that our niyyah, our intention gets corrupt? Why? Because we don't think about the one whom we are standing before. We don't think about His greatness. We are in reality unaware of His true position. Because if we knew about His position, if we realized His greatness, then our ibadah would be different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself tells us that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn and men except that they should worship Me. And for this reason, who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send? Who did He send? Prophets. How many prophets? Just one or two? Many. Throughout the ages. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ In Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And we have not sent before you any messenger except that we reveal to him that there is no deity except Me, so worship Me. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to worship Him. Correct? Okay. So this is why it is necessary for us to understand three matters. First of all, what is worship? What is ibadah? Secondly, who is the ma'bud? Who is it that we are worshipping? And thirdly, who are we as ibad, as servants? Now, when we know the ma'bud, the one who is being worshipped, naturally we will also understand our position as servants. Right? Because things are known by their opposites. So, what we really need to focus on over here is, first of all, ibadah. What is ibadah? What is worship? I'm asking you. What is worship? Quickly, I need an answer from you. I need a response from you. Okay, al-khudur wa-tadallul. Humility, submissiveness. Ibadah, it basically has three pillars. First of all, ghayatul hubb. Ghayatul hubb. The maximum extent of love. I want you to imagine this. The maximum extent of love. Think about it. Sometimes when you love a particular individual, like for example a child, you feel as though your heart would burst with love. And you think that no one could love anyone more than you love a particular individual. But you will always find people who are more loving than you. So, one of the pillars of ibadah is the maximum extent of love. Yani, the maximum that you can love someone. The maximum capacity of love that you have within you. That love should be for who? Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is why it is said that ibadah is to show extreme humility. But how? With immense love. It is to express humility, but with love, with reverence, with respect. Love is part of ibadah. Without love, ibadah is incomplete. And ibadah is, you know, you show your lesser state, your needy state, with earnestness, you know, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how? Lovingly. So for example, when you make dua, this is an act of worship. But while you are humbling yourself, while you are showing your lesser and weaker state and needy state, this is with love also. Likewise, when you are prostrating yourself in sujood, this is not just a position in which a person is showing humility. This is also supposed to be with love. So every act of worship is meaningful, it is complete when there is love in it. Kamalul hubb wa kamalul dhul. Kamalul hubb, what is kamal? Completion, perfection, perfection of love, absolute love. And kamalul dhul, absolute humility. So both of these are necessary. The first pillar is love. And this is where we really need to ask ourselves that when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever act of worship it may be, whether it is the recitation of the book of Allah or it is standing in prayer, yes, we are doing it with fear, we are doing it because we have to do it, but do we also perform these actions lovingly, with love? And is our heart really involved over there? Because there is a difference, you know, when a person is doing something with love and a person is doing something without love. Is there a difference? Have you ever felt it? So for example, you're very passionate about a certain food. And whenever you prepare it lovingly. You love your house. And whenever you look after it, you do so with love. So then what happens to your back? And what happens to your hands? And what happens to your entire body? Does it get tired? But do you mind the pain? Do you mind the costs? Do you mind the time and the effort that has been spent? No. Why? Because it is done with love. And remember that the more love there is in an action, the more beautiful it becomes. And we, in this life, are fulfilling the purpose of our existence, right? By worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are performing our most important obligation. We are performing our most important task, duty. And remember that however a task is performed, that's exactly how it is paid for, right? The second pillar of ibadah is al-khawf, fear. But it is such fear that is free from despair. Such fear that is free from despair. Now, what does it mean to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means that we should keep away from sins. We should keep away from any matter, any action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disapproves of. And due to this fear, we do what we have been asked to do. Think about it. When you fear someone, what happens to you? You do what you're supposed to. And you keep away from what you have been forbidden. This is what fear means. Now remember that when it comes to your ibadah, is fear necessary? Is it necessary? Yes, love is necessary, but at the same time, fear is also necessary. Why? Because fear helps us perform better. Fear helps us do what we have to correctly and properly. Okay. Now, how does this fear develop? How does this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop? With knowledge, okay, what's the evidence of that? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ It is the knowledgeable servants of Allah that fear Him. So it is through ilm. So now, if we have knowledge of our ma'bud, if we know the one whom we are worshipping, would we fear Him? If we increase in our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would we increase in our fear of Him? Then would we increase in our worship? Then would our worship become better? So again, the key to love is knowledge, and the key to fear is also knowledge. So if we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, then what is necessary? Knowledge. The third pillar of ibadah is ar-raja. What is ar-raja? Hope. Such hope that is with amal, that is maqroon with amal. Meaning that is with actions. Not that a person is just relying on hope and he doesn't do anything. No, he's hopeful of Allah's mercy, of His help, of His approval, of His pleasure. And he is striving to attain that pleasure. How? With actions. In Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا That whoever, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو, whoever hopes to meet his Lord. And obviously it means a good meeting, a meeting in which he will be happy. So then what should this person do? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Then let him do righteous work. So these are the three pillars of ibadah. Now generally, ibadah is defined as, there are many definitions of ibadah, some of them you reminded me, I reminded you, okay, you have studied those definitions earlier. Another definition is, ismun jami'un, and this is the definition that was given by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that it is ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allahu wa yardah min al-aqwali wal-a'mali الباطنتي والظاهرتي. It is ismun jamirun. What is ism? A name, a noun. Meaning ibadah is a noun. Okay, it's a term. That is jamir. What does jamir mean? Comprehensive. So it's a comprehensive term that includes what? لِكُلِّ. For every. مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. Every deed that Allah loves and approves of. It is a comprehensive term for every deed that Allah loves and He approves of. من الأقوال والأعمال. Whether they are words or actions. There are certain words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Can you give me an example? كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن. They are beloved to the most merciful. What are those two words? سبحانالله وبحمده سبحانالله العظيم. So these are words, correct? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love them? Does He? Yes. Does He approve of them? Of course. So saying these words, is that an act of worship? How should they be said? With love, with fear, and with hope. Okay. من الأقوال والأعمال. And also actions. Which actions does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love? Tell me an action about which we learned that Allah loves that action. Tell me with evidence. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those who do tawbah, who make tawbah, who repent, and who also keep themselves clean. So the act of tawbah, feeling sorry, feeling regret, feeling bad on committing a sin, doing istighfar, making up for the harm that was caused, this action, this change, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Likewise, in a hadith Qudsi, we learn that the servant draws near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how? By performing those actions which Allah loves, which are those which He has made obligatory. So for example, the five daily prayers. For example, giving zakat. For example, fasting in the month of Ramadan. These actions have been ordained by Allah. They're fard. And Allah loves those actions. Okay. So all of them are what? What are they? Ibadah. One more thing about them. من الأقوال والأعمال الباطنة والظاهرة. الباطنة and الظاهرة. What does باطنة mean? That which is hidden. And الظاهرة, that which is apparent. So certain words, certain actions, where are they said? Where are they pronounced? Hidden. Where? In the hearts. And certain others are manifest, meaning when a person says them, when a person does them, they are seen. Okay? So give me an example of batina. Acts of worship which are batin, which are hidden. Okay, a good intention. Alright, what else? Okay, fasting. As-sawmu li. Right? Fasting is for me. Why? Because only Allah knows whether a person is really fasting or not. A person can pretend before others, but who knows the reality? Allah alone. Okay. So this is an example of batina. What about zahira? Manifest. So for instance, salah. Okay. So ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yardahu min al-aqwal wal-a'mal al-batinati wal-zahirati. And remember that all of these are to be done with love, fear, as well as hope. Now, do we experience love with people? Of course. What about fear of people? Yes. What about hope in people? Of course. Now, when we experience, you know, love, fear, hope, when we interact with people, these feelings, do they impact our relationship with people? Okay. So for example, if there's too much fear, does that affect the relationship? Okay. If there's too much love, excessive to the point that the other person is feeling suffocated, okay, so that there's only love and no fear, no respect, does that impact the relationship? Okay. What about if it's only hope, in the sense that a person is always hopeful, no matter what I do, this person is not going to mind. No matter what I do, my husband is never going to be upset with me. So I can spend how much ever I want. I can call whoever I want. I can go out as much as I want. Is that going to affect the relationship? Yes. So while these three are pillars of ibadah, what does it mean? That all three must be there. All three must be there. And if all three are there, then of course there will be a natural, beautiful balance. Love, what does it produce? Love makes you do something. Correct? It produces inclination. Raghba. So when the servant loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will incline him more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will increase him in his servitude to Allah. All right. On the other hand, with love is fear. Right? Khawf, with respect and reverence. And this fear, it prevents a person from committing wrong. Right? So love motivates us to obey more. Fear holds us back from committing sin. And in the center of this is hope. That a person has husnul zan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thinks positively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with great hope, he performs good deeds. So this is what we have been created to do. Worship Allah, love Allah, fear Allah, have hope in Him, and also trust upon Him. And all of this is worship. All of this is ibadah. Now, ibadah is for who? Only ma'bud. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this means the way we love Allah, we do not love anyone else. The way we fear Allah, we do not fear anyone else. The way we have hope in Allah, we don't have hope in anyone else. So this is where we come to the subject of Tawheed. Tawheed. Tawheed is what? Wahada. To make one. To unite. To make one. So Tawheed is to basically make your love exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the love for Him is unlike any other love. The fear of Him is unlike any other fear. And the trust on Him is unlike any other trust. And the hope in Him is unlike any other hope. Tawheed, is it important? Huh? If you were asked, what is the difference between Islam and other religions, what is that one factor? Tawheed. Right? Because many people, they believe in the concept of God, they love God, they fear God, right? They believe in an afterlife, they even believe in prophets. But what is the problem in their belief still? Tawheed. Right? Meaning shirk is in there, is part of their faith. And in our religion, there is no room for shirk. Now when it comes to Tawheed, again, a quick review would be good, just because these references are going to be made a lot as we are going to study the book. Tawheed has three categories. When we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, what does it mean? That we believe in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, and Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. What does it mean by that? First of all, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. We believe that Rububiyyah is from Rabb. So He alone is Rabb. He alone has the right of lordship, absolute sovereignty. No one shares that with Him. He alone is Rabb and no one is Rabb with Him. He is Rabb and everyone else is Marbub, meaning those who have a Lord. Who is Rabb? Khaliq, Malik, Mudabbir. Who is Khaliq? The Creator. So what does that mean? That He is the one who has brought everything into existence. They did not exist. Who created them? Who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Including what? The sun and the stars and the earth and all the people and all the ants and all the fish and the mountains and the snowflakes and the clouds and the wind and the angels and the jinn, the creation that we see and the creation that we don't see, the creation that we know of and the creation that we do not know of, the creation that existed and has perished today, that exists today or that will exist tomorrow, all of the creation. Who is the Khaliq? Allah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, meaning He alone is the Creator. Secondly, we believe that He is also the Malik. Meaning, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah means that He alone is the Khaliq. Secondly, He alone is the Malik. Who is Malik? Owner. So He alone is the owner, the real owner, the absolute owner of what? Everything. Do we own something? Many things. But our ownership is not absolute. It is temporary and it is also deficient. You own your things, but you don't control them. And then He is also the Mudabbir. So we believe that He alone is the Mudabbir. Who is Mudabbir? The one who plans. So His planning is perfect with regards to His creation, meaning He has planned everything with respect to every creature. Perfect planning, complete planning, and that planning also comes into effect. So that means that He is the controller of every affair of His creation. From their life and death to their provision and their loss and their benefit and everything else. So this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The second category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Uluhiyyah is from Ilah. And Ilah meaning God, the one who is worshipped. Rabb is Lord, Master, Creator. Now when it comes to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Rabb, do Muslims believe in that? Of course. Do other people believe in that also? Yes. There are many people, in fact, majority of the people who believe in a concept of a creator, God, right? Who is behind all of this universe, meaning He is the one who is running the affairs of the entire universe. So they do believe in a Rabb. Did the mushrikeen of Makkah believe in Rabb? Of course. When it comes to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, what does it mean? We believe that He alone deserves worship without any partner. No jinn deserves worship. No human being deserves worship. No mountain, no animal, no creature, no mother, no father, no angel, no sheikh, no ustad, nobody but Allah. So all acts of worship are devoted to Him alone. Whether it is salah, or it is zakah, or it is fasting, or anything. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Now, Tawheed Uluhiyyah, sometimes it is also called Ubudiyyah. Are you familiar with the term Ubudiyyah? Ubudiyyah is from Abd. Okay? So, when we're talking about this aspect of Tawheed with respect to the servant, with respect to ourselves, then what do we call it? Ubudiyyah. Because ubudiyyah is servitude. Okay? But when we're talking about this aspect of Tawheed with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we call it uluhiyyah. Because uluhiyyah means to be ilah, the one who is worshipped. Alright? So we do ubudiyyah and He has uluhiyyah. The third aspect of Tawheed is Tawheed al-asma wa sifat. What does asma mean? Names. And what does as-sifat mean? Attributes. Give me an example of one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, as-samir, ar-rahman, okay. So these are names. What are sifat? Attributes, qualities. So give me an example of one of Allah's sifat from these names, as-samir and ar-rahman. He has the sifat, the attribute of summer, which means that He hears. Then He has rahmah. He shows mercy. He is affectionate. He is kind. So Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, what does it mean? That we believe that the names and attributes of Allah, Tawheed, He alone possesses them. No one shares those names and attributes with Him. Which means that those names and attributes are unique to Him. And this is where we believe that there is none like Him. There is none similar to Him. Now when it comes to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, with respect to this aspect of Tawheed, there has been a lot of ikhtilaf, a lot of difference and division, in fact, amongst the Ahlul Qibla, meaning the people of the Qibla, the people who face the same Qibla, meaning the people of this Ummah. There are many people who believe in Allah as creator. There are many people who believe that Allah alone should be worshipped. But when it comes to His attributes, remember that there are many people who are either in doubt, okay, that it's not possible. How can Allah have a hand, for example? There are people who think such things, even if they don't say them. Or the concept they hold as part of their belief is not correct. So for example, they will say that, you know, some people will go to the extent of saying that Allah, okay, He has a hand, and that hand is like this and like that. They will begin to describe that hand. Who has seen it that they can describe it? So remember that when it comes to this aspect of Tawheed, there has been a lot of misunderstanding. Many people have misunderstood this noble science. And as a result, there has been a lot of division throughout history. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when he wrote this book, he dedicated a major part of this book on clarifying this aspect of Tawheed. Clarifying our belief concerning the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which names and attributes does Allah possess? Which names and attributes do we affirm for Allah? And what is it that we do not say about Allah that He has such attribute or He does not have such and such attribute? You may wonder that, is it really all that important? Meaning, if a person says, I believe in Allah and I worship Him alone, and I think that's sufficient, I don't need to know what qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has or what descriptions cannot be given to Him. Does that really matter? Does it matter? So for example, if a person says, you know what, I just want to marry this particular individual. I don't care what their name is. I don't care what their education is. I don't care what family they're from. You know what, anybody. Really? What would you say to such a person? Not gonna work. You better find out. Why? Because you have to live with this person. You have to spend some time with this person. When it comes to any human being, do we find it necessary to know their name and their qualities? What if we don't care to find out? Is it going to affect the relationship? How is it going to affect it? Can we benefit from them properly? Can we benefit them properly? Okay, let me give you an example. If someone says to you, let's say your husband or your father says to you that we have guests coming tonight, make sure that, you know, you have some food prepared. You say, okay. And you're like, you know what, I'm too tired, I'm just going to order some pizza. And you order some pizza. Okay. What happens when the guests show up and you open the door, you find out it's the Imam of the Kaaba? What would you think at that time? Would you be angry with your husband? That why did you not tell me? Or would you be like, oh, it doesn't matter, it's food, pizza. Anybody can eat it. So what, you should be grateful. Yeah? Would you wish at that time that you knew who the guest was? Why? So that you could prepare that which they deserve. When we don't know the qualities, the names, the attributes of a human being, then can we give them their haqq? No, we cannot. Can we deal with them properly? Can we respect them? Can we love them? Can we fear them? Can we have the right kind of hope in them? No. Then what about the Creator? What about the one whom we should love the most? Should we not know Him? Should we not be clear about His names and attributes? Should we not have some knowledge of His names and attributes? When Allah has Himself told us about some of His names and attributes, then should we not pay attention to that matter? We need to. So the matter of Tawheed Asma wa Sifat is a very serious matter, because if it's not understood correctly, then ibadah cannot be performed correctly. Because if we don't know the one whom we are worshipping, if we do not recognize Him, then how can we give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His haqq? We cannot give Him His haqq. Think about it. When we want to find out about someone, what's the first thing that we need to know? Their name. After their name, what do we ask? Their profession. Huh? So, for example, if a person is being interviewed, all right, for a particular job, then what's the first thing that they're asked about? Their name. Hmm? Then their resume is examined. Okay, what have they studied? What have they done? Where have they worked? How much experience do they have? And all of this knowledge, okay, it helps you better understand the individual, and that will help you, you know, make the decision of either accepting them or not accepting them, and which role to give them. Hmm? So, knowing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, complete the sentence, very important, just very important, essential, essential. Without it, ibadah cannot be complete. So the first thing that we must know is the name, and the second thing that we must know is the sifa. So for example, if you're sitting somewhere and there's a person sitting next to you, and you just don't even give them much importance, and later on you find out, you know, they are a particular scholar, or they are the author of such and such book, then would you have spoken to them differently? Yes. So after the name, the sifat also. They help us better know, better understand, and better deal with others. Remember that Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat means that His names and attributes befit only Him. Right? So if we don't know what are the unique names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's quite possible out of this ignorance and making this mistake, we give that name and that attribute to someone else, and that would be committing a serious sin. Okay. Now, remember that knowing the names is necessary, and knowing the sifat, the attributes, is also necessary. And it is important to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be known. How should He be known? What is it that we should know about Him? What He has told us about Himself. Hmm? And think about it. Someone's name, can that be detached from them? Can that be separated from them? Can it be? No. For example, if a particular object is just referred to as a thing, thing, thing. You know, sometimes people, they refer to everything as thing. The name is not being used. Then how do you know what is being spoken of? Hmm? So the name is the part of the individual. It cannot be detached from them. The name means a lot. The name is meaningful. So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not just abstract names or names that are meaningless. No. They tell us about our Lord. They help us know our Creator. Now, many people, what they did was that they completely ignored the names and attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of in the Quran and Sunnah. And they tried to understand Allah through their aql, through their intellect. Okay? Meaning, on the basis of logic, on the basis of intellect, that's what they tried to do. But then what happened? This is from where deviations began. So this is why it is necessary that we gain knowledge of this noble science, because otherwise we would be speaking without knowledge. And speaking without knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that a serious matter? Huh? It's a very serious matter. We cannot go on describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any description unless we are certain that this is a description that Allah has, because He has informed us about it in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ gave this description. Otherwise, if we say something based on our own reasoning, then we could be making a serious mistake. And this is something that is forbidden. In the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That my Lord has forbidden certain things. What are they? First of all, fawahish. Fawahish, indecent actions. Whether they are apparent or they are hidden. Sin, ism. Then, al-baghi, rebellion. بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And then, وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. Committing shirk. associating partners with Allah. And finally in this ayah, what is mentioned? That you say about Allah what you do not know. This is something that we are not allowed to do. Talking about Allah without knowledge. Describing Him with certain attributes or descriptions that He has not informed us of. Or rejecting some of the attributes of Allah because we don't know that Allah has mentioned them. That Allah has described Himself with those attributes. So any of this, when this is done in ignorance, is it okay? It's still not okay. It's still not okay. Because what's the solution to ignorance? Knowledge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this knowledge, then it is our duty to find out. It is our duty to find out. And if we don't find out, if we don't learn, and as a result we make mistakes, and those mistakes are very serious, then who is at fault? We are at fault. So while this knowledge helps us better worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that this knowledge also helps us keep away from making serious mistakes. Are both of these goals clear? Why we are going to study the subject? Why, first of all, worship Allah better? And secondly, avoid mistakes, serious mistakes. In Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 36, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not pursue that of which you have no knowledge. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. The hearing, the sight, the heart, everything is going to be asked. Everything is going to be questioned. So when you don't know, don't speak. And when you are in a position where you have to say something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you better find out. Do children not ask us questions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Innocent questions. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laugh? Does He smile? Does He get happy? Does He get upset? These are questions. And they are important questions to children. And if we say, don't think too much about Allah. No, no, no. This is not the answer. They want to know about their Lord. And we better know the answer. Does He smile? Yes, He does. So don't be hesitant. See, some of you are confused here. Some of you are confident. So this is where we need to solidify this knowledge and understanding. So that when we think about Allah, anything, we are confident about it. When we say something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, we are confident about that. Especially someone who is learning the Qur'an, is teaching the Qur'an, is involved, you know, with the knowledge of the Qur'an in any capacity, then they must be very clear about this science, about this knowledge. Why? Because anything you say will be taken as an argument by people, as a proof by people. So it is necessary that we are clear in our understanding with respect to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that on studying the Qur'an, the hadith, there are definitely many names, many attributes of Allah that you learn about. And many of you over here have studied the Qur'an, you have also studied Bukhari or other books of hadith. You have had exposure to this knowledge. And alhamdulillah, through this knowledge, you develop a certain level of ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still, certain mistakes are made. Certain mistakes are made and they may happen. So it is necessary that just as we study fiqh as a subject, grammar as a subject, we also study aqidah as a subject. And in particular, with regards to aqidah, the knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can know Him correctly, we can worship Him better, and we can also fulfill the purpose of our existence. Now, one thing before we begin is that at-tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat. This is part of iman, right? And this is part of iman bil-ghayb. It's iman in the unseen. And remember that when it comes to al-ghayb, it cannot be learnt through reason. Meaning, the unseen cannot be discovered. When it comes to certain, you know, sciences, so for example, certain aspects of biology, can they be discovered? Yes. Why? Because you study them, you examine them, and you test them, and you test them in the lab, and you do one research after the other. So what happens? Something is discovered. But when it comes to ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, can that be discovered? Can we ever get there through our own reason and intellect? No. Because which human being has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one. Who is capable of going up above the seven heavens and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he can come and describe Allah? No one can do that. No one can do that. We can barely go to the moon. We can barely go to Mars. How is it that we can go above and beyond seven heavens? It's beyond our capability. Right? And no matter how much we expend our mental effort in trying to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through the knowledge which He has given us. And what is that knowledge? Wahi. And that is known as an-nusus, the texts. Which texts? Of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Think about it, Jannah. Jannah. What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Jannah? That, from hadith, what do we learn? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have created that which no eye has ever seen. So, can any human being paint a picture of Jannah? If he makes lots of rivers and lots of huge gardens and he says this is Jannah, would you call that Jannah? No way. And if a picture is made and the word Jannah is put on it, would that make you think that yes, that is Jannah? No way. Is that justice to Jannah? No way. Why? Because no human eye has seen Jannah. So, when it cannot be said about the creation, when you haven't seen it, don't go on describing it. Then what about the Creator? How can we go on and describe the Creator without even seeing Him? When we haven't seen Him, then how do we come to know of Him? By using the texts that He has given to us. The revelation that He has given to us. This is why we are not going to use any such means in order to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? Reason, aql, logic. What is our point of reference? The Qur'an and Sunnah. Which method should be employed? The Qur'an and the Sunnah. That we will try our best to understand them, and we will certainly believe in them and affirm them, even if we do not fully understand them. In Surah Al-Isra, it is said that, وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا خَيْرًا. That when it is said to the people who fear Allah, what is it that your Lord has revealed? What do they say? خَيْرًا. It's all good. Even if I don't fully comprehend it, because my intellect is so limited, it's still good. So, the names and attributes of Allah, we're going to try our best to understand them through the Qur'an and Sunnah. But if we don't understand something, still we will believe in it and affirm it. Now, a little overview of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah. Remember that there are two kinds of sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, dhatiyyah. And the reason why I'm telling you about this is because as soon as we begin the book, you'll notice that even from the second page, okay, the attributes of Allah will begin. So it would be good if you understood this. So first of all, dhatiyyah. Those attributes of Allah which are part of His that. What is that? Being, self, existence. Okay? Now, these attributes are further divided into two categories. First of all, ma'nawiyyah, and secondly, khabariyyah. Ma'nawiyyah. What does ma'nawiyyah mean? Meaning, basically, it's used in contrast to that which is tangible, that which is physical. Okay? So, for example, you as a human being have certain qualities which are physical, certain traits which are physical, and other traits which are not physical. So, for example, a person is very forgiving. Now, is that seen somewhere? Is that seen somewhere? No. Likewise, a person is very loving. How? There are big hearts on their body? No. It's marnawi. It's not physical. It's not tangible. Okay, I'm just explaining to you the concept of marnawi. So, some sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are part of His being, His that, they are ma'nawi. So, for example, al-hayat, life, al-ilm, knowledge, al-qudra, capability, al-izzah, honor, al-hikmah, wisdom, al-azama. What is al-azama? Grandeur, greatness. Then the second is khabariyya. Khabariyya is from khabar, meaning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about. Those attributes which He has informed us about, and that are part of Him. So for example, al-yadain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hands. Is that somewhere from the Qur'an and Sunnah? Can you give me an evidence? بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبَسُوطَتَانِ. Okay, both his hands are مَبَسُوطَتَانِ. They are open, outstretched, meaning he's constantly giving. Likewise, eyes, عَيْنَيْن, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Likewise, wajh, face. Okay. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكْ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. So these were those attributes which are with respect to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, attributes that are fi'liya. Fi'liya meaning His actions. Okay. His actions. Like for example, an-nuzul. Okay. إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. So for example, from hadith we learn that every night in the last third, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. Now descending is an action. Likewise, on the Day of Judgment, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. One more thing. Okay. Istiwa. Yeah, now istiwa, meaning He did istiwa on His arsh. Okay. This is also an action which we learn about. Now remember that some sifat are thubutiya and others are manfiya. What does thubutiya mean? It is from to affirm. Okay. It means to affirm. Meaning some attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that tell us that He has certain qualities. He has certain traits, certain attributes, which are befitting to Him. So for example, Al-Alim, what does that tell us? That He has ilm. Al-Basir, that He has basar, right? As-Samir, that He has as-Samr. Other attributes are manfiyah. Manfiyah meaning negate, to negate. Meaning there are such attributes that tell us that Allah does not possess those qualities. Such qualities are negated from Him. So for example, nisyan. What does nisyan mean? To forget. In the Quran we learn, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. He doesn't forget at all. Likewise, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Sleep and drowsiness. Negated from Allah, right? Likewise, any equivalent. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّا وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَد. So for example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. أَحَد. He is one. Which kind of attribute is this? Manfiyya or ثُبُوتِيَّة? ثُبُوتِيَّة. Allahu الصَّمَد. ثُبُوتِيَّة. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Manfiyya. Good. So you've understood? Alhamdulillah. So now, inshallah, we will study the book. But before we begin, I would like you to ask one another. So for example, two people that are sitting together, okay, ask one another three questions. First of all, what are the categories of Tawheed? Ask each other. Make sure that your partner has understood. And if you haven't understood, then inshallah your partner can clarify that for you. Because before we move on, everyone must be clear on these matters. So, three questions. What are the categories of Tawheed? Secondly, why is it necessary to know Al-Asma wa-Sifat? And thirdly, what are the kinds of Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, answer these questions quickly. I'll give you 5 minutes. And everybody should be involved in this. All right. Is there any question that you have at this point? So, the two kinds of Sifat, Dhatiyya and Fi'liyya. Dhatiyya, further divided into two. Which ones? Ma'nawiyya and Khabariyya. All right. Fairliya, there are also explanations of that. So inshallah, when we study them, we'll inshallah I'll explain them to you. Subutiya, manfiya, they're basically a different kind of categorization. It's just a way, an important point to understand when we are studying the attributes of Allah. That certain attributes that tell us about who Allah is, meaning what qualities He has, and other attributes that tell us about what He is not. La ilaha illallah. This is what? La ilaha is negation. And illallah is affirmation. So both are necessary to know. Any other question, any other clarification that is needed? Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's begin the book then. Does everybody have the book? So if you look at the cover page of the book, Matnu al-Aqidatil Wasitiyya. We looked at this earlier. Matn means text, and al-Aqidah, al-Wasitiyya. Why is it called Wasitiyya? Because it was written on the request of a judge from Wasit. Ta'lif. What does ta'lif mean? Written by, authored by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Tabweeb. Tabweeb is from Bab. What does Bab mean? Like, for example, in Bukhari, Bab, a chapter. So basically, the text of Aqidah Wasitiyya, it has been put into chapters. By who? A Shaykh Salih bin Abdullah Al-Fawzan. So, for example, if you Google the text of Aqidah Wasitiyya, you won't find all of these chapter headings. Okay? Or in some other publications, you might find that the chapter headings are different. Why? Because each scholar, based on their understanding, they made it easy for their students. How? By dividing up the text into sections and subsections. Okay, because it's just a long text. So when it was divided up into sections and subsections, it was easier for the students to understand. So let's begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the infinitely merciful, the especially merciful. Muqaddimatul Mu'allif. Muqaddimah. The preface of who? Al-Mu'allif, the author. Meaning this is the introduction that is written by the author. Which author? Ibn Taymiyyah. And how does it begin? It begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The book begins with the Basmala. Okay? And you see that this is the habit of all noble authors. That when they begin something, especially a book, then they begin it with what? With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is how the book of Allah begins. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is how the book of Allah begins, and this was also the way of the prophets, alayhimu salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he wrote a letter, what did he do? Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent letters, what was written at the top? The name of Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Why? Because everything important must be begun by mentioning the name of Allah. Why mention Allah's name? Why? Because the name of Allah is very blessed. It's a source of blessing, it's a source of goodness, and it is also a source of protection. Tabarakasmu Rabbik. The name of your Lord is Tabarak. It is full of barakah. It is a source of blessing. How much blessing, how much goodness, how important is it that when an animal is being slaughtered and Allah's name is mentioned, then the meat of that animal will be halal. And if the name of Allah is not mentioned, imagine that meat is not allowed for us to eat. We cannot eat it. Look at the difference that happens with mentioning the name of Allah. Likewise, when the name of Allah is mentioned when entering the home, can shaitan come in? No. When the name of Allah is mentioned when eating, can shaitan have a share in that food? Not at all. So where it is a source of blessing, it is also a source of protection. So as we begin the study of this text, we also begin with the name of Allah, by mentioning Allah's exalted name. Why? To seek His blessings. So that this study, this endeavor is a source of goodness for us. And as we strive to understand this text, we also ask Allah for His protection, that we are protected from the evil of shaitan. Shaitan has no share, not even a little, in this effort of ours. And we also say Bismillah so that we can increase in our guidance through this effort. Because He is who? Bismillah, who is He? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the one who is Ar-Rahman. Who is Ar-Rahman? The possessor of infinite mercy. Ar-Rahman, this is Wus'ah. Right? Abundant mercy. the one who is the possessor of vast, abundant mercy. And He is also Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim shows action, that He affects with His mercy whom He wills. So Ar-Rahman shows us the sifa, the attribute, that He is possessor of abundant mercy. And Ar-Rahim tells us about the action, that He also shows that mercy to whomsoever He wishes. And Ar-Rahman also shows that His mercy is general, it is aam, for who? The entire creation, those who believe and also those who disbelieve, those who sin and also those who obey. But Ar-Rahim, what does it mean? That His mercy is khas. That on the Day of Judgment, in the hereafter, everyone will not have a share in the mercy of Allah. Everyone will not be affected by Allah's mercy. How? That for example, in hellfire, people will say, رَبَّنَا O our Lord, أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ They will say, O our Lord, they will beg Allah. They're showing humility. Isn't that ibadah? Asking Allah, isn't that ibadah? Ibadah. What does that bring to the servant? Allah's mercy. But in that hellfire, will they get mercy? No. قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ Don't even speak to me. They will not get rahmah. What will they get? Adl. So, Allah's rahmah is amma. Where? Right now, in this dunya. Those who benefit from that mercy, in the true sense, how? That they benefit from all the blessings that Allah has given, including guidance, then they will receive His special mercy in the hereafter also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those. So it is necessary that we understand Allah's sifat so that we can benefit from them. Before I continue, just a small reminder that you see that in this text, there are many words that have the tashkil, meaning the fatha, kasra, dhamma is there. But it's not in every single letter. So, for many people, those harakat, they are understood. But if there's any word where you feel that I need to know this, when I'm reading the text, do listen attentively and mark the fatha, kasra, dhamma. Okay? الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا All praise belongs to Allah, who sent His Messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that it may reign supreme over all religions, and sufficient is Allah as a witness. I testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah alone, with no partner, fully acknowledging this and affirming this as Tawheed. I testify that Muhammad is His servant and messenger, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May ever increasing peace and blessings be upon him and on his family. Now inshallah I will tell you the word to word. Before I do that, how much of this text did you understand? Almost everything? Which word was new? Or which expression was new? Iqraram bihi wa tawheeda. Okay. And what about the end? Taslimam mazida. But otherwise, how was it? Alhamdulillah, easy to understand. Okay. Alhamdulillah. All praise for Allah. All praise belongs to Allah. Allah is deserving of all praise. Why? Because He is the Khaliq, Malik, Mudabbir. Why else? Because He created everything. When is it that you praise someone? When do you praise them? When they do something for you, okay, when they show a favor to you, when they are praiseworthy, they are deserving of it. What makes them deserving? Okay, you love them because of who they are, because of the qualities they possess, because of the actions that they do. So for example, a student gets 100 on 100. Will he get some words of praise from the parents and the teachers? Why? Because he accomplished something great. So, why alhamdulillah? Why all praise to Allah? لِأَنَّهُ كَامِلُ الصِّفَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهِ Because He is perfect in His attributes, in every way. He is perfect in every way. All His attributes are perfect. All His qualities are perfect. His knowledge is perfect. His mercy is perfect. His justice is perfect. In every way, He is perfect. He is only perfect. So we praise Him because of His kamal, because of His perfection, and also because of His in'am, His generosity, His showing, His giving blessings to us. In'am, what does in'am mean? To give ni'mah, to show favor. Now, it's possible that someone is very good, very perfect, they're very highly qualified, they are very knowledgeable. Okay, so what? When is it that their knowledge and their high qualification and the fact that they have a big firm matters to you? When does it matter to you? When they have shown some favor to you. Otherwise, the richest person in the world, who does he matter to you? We don't even need to know their name. Right? Someone who has 5 PhD degrees, so what? But if they become your friend and they show favor to you, then would you praise them? Of course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not just perfect in His attributes. He's not just perfect in every way, but rather He is also the most generous. To who? Every single creature. What is His favor to us? How much is His favor to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever you have of any blessing, it is from Allah. Whether it is the blessing of your eyelashes, or the blessing of your eyesight, or the blessing of your sense of touch, or the blessing of the food you eat, the air you breathe, the family you love, the friends whose company you enjoy, the knowledge you get. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ So, Alhamdulillah. All praise for Allah. Because of His kamal and His in'am. الَّذِي The one who أَرْسَلَ He sent. The one who sent. رَسُولَهُ His messenger. Allah, the one who sent His messenger with what? بِالْهُدَى With guidance. He sent His messenger with guidance. As well as وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ And deen, which is الحق. Religion, which is al-haq, which is true. That is free of any doubt. It is true. There are many blessings. His favors are many on us. But which one is mentioned over here? The favor, the blessing of guidance. For which purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent who? His messengers. The messengers were sent for what purpose? For the purpose of guidance. الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ Which messenger is this? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were there any messengers that were sent? Of course. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ had. And for every nation was a guide. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadith in Bukhari, number 3534, My example in comparison with the other prophets is that of a man who has built a house completely and excellently, except for a place of one brick. When the people enter the house, they admire its beauty. And they say, but for the place of this brick, meaning, if only this brick was not missing, if only this gap was not there, this house would be perfect. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore perfecting that beautiful structure, and He sent him with huda, with guidance, and deen al-haq. Where is this huda and deen al-haq? Where do we find it from? Where is it contained in? Where is it preserved in? The Qur'an and the sunnah. Why did He send the messenger? لِيُظْهِرَهُ So that He would make it prevail. لِيُظْهِرَهُ يُظْهِر is to make someone prevail. Make someone victorious. Who? لِيُظْهِرَهُ The dhamir of who? This is referring to either the deen, or the messenger. that Allah sent the messenger with the truth, and he's going to make his messenger, or he's going to make this religion prevail over what? Ala, over ad-deen, the religion, kullihi, all of it. Meaning, ala ad-deeni kulli, over all religions. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the religion of Islam, Allah will cause it to prevail. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his messenger prevail? Yes, this did happen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevailed over the mushrikeen. The Sahaba, they prevailed over the enemies of Islam, whether it was in the form of false prophets or other existing religions of the time. They were given victory. How? How is this izhar done, this victory? How? Through ilm, knowledge, through proofs, that this religion has been equipped with such proofs, with such evidences, with such facts, that no one can refute it. This religion cannot be refuted. Why? Because everything is backed up with evidences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what we must believe in and what we must do. But at the same time, He also equipped us with reasons. The reasons, the evidences that are solid and firm, so that the religion of Allah cannot be proven as false. It cannot be proven as harmful. Secondly, He makes the religion prevail how? In the amali sense, meaning even in the practical sense. Practically, Allah has granted dominance to this religion over others. Yes, this victory was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and afterwards also it was given to many. And of course, this is Allah's promise that He will make this religion prevail. If not in both ways, at least in one way. وَكَفَى. And He is sufficient. Who is sufficient? بِاللَّهِ. Be. Over here gives the meaning of definitely. Allah. He is sufficient. شَهِيدًا. As a witness. Meaning, Allah is sufficient as a witness over this fact. Over what fact? Go back to the beginning. That the messenger, he brought the huda, he brought deenul haq, he conveyed it, and that he made the deen ghalib, with proofs and also in the practical sense. The mushrikeen, they said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. Even today, there are those who say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not a messenger. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, ayah 43, we learn about this. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Say, sufficient is Allah as witness between me and you, and the witness of whoever has knowledge of the scripture. Meaning, even though there are people who may say today, there was no messenger, he was not a messenger. People may say that, no, this religion does not contain guidance, it's not the religion of truth. Does that matter? They're saying, their rejection, does that carry any weight? No, because وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. If Allah is a witness to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if Allah is a witness to the truth of this deen, then whose rejection matters? It doesn't matter. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And also the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed, and this deen, he made it ظاهر, meaning he made it prevail. How? That he gave the proofs and evidences so that no one could refute him in any way. And he conveyed it fully. Remember that at Hajjatul Wada', did he not ask, Ala hal ballaght? Have I conveyed? And what did the Sahaba say? That yes, you have. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Allahumma shahad. O Allah, bear witness. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Allah is sufficient as a witness. وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And I bear witness. Allah's witness is sufficient, but I also bear witness that La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Wahdahu, wahdahu. What does this mean? Him alone. There is no deity, no being that deserves worship except who? Allah alone. La, not sharika, any partner. Lahu, he has. He has no partner. Meaning no one deserves any share of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All worship is exclusively for who? Allah alone. And he says, إِقْرَارًا بِهِ وَتَوْحِيدًا. I bear witness to this. How? إِقْرَارًا بِهِ. إِقْرَار is to acknowledge. Meaning, I testify while fully acknowledging this. Meaning, I have no doubt. I say this with full confidence. Full confidence, without any doubt. Do you say this with full confidence? إِقْرَارًا بِهِ. Do you acknowledge this yourself also? Or is it just words that we hear and then we pass on? وَتَوْحِيدَ. Tawheed, meaning as one, making one. Meaning that I affirm the oneness of Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I say this while fully acknowledging, and توحيدا, meaning affirming this as توحيد. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أشهد, I testify, أن محمدا, that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is عبده, his servant, ورسوله, and his messenger. صلى الله عليه, may Allah's blessings be on him, وعلى آله, and on his followers, his family, وصحبه, and his companions. وسلم تسليما مزيدا. سلم, may Allah's salam, peace, be on who? On the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tasliman, such taslim, meaning such salam, such peace, that is mazid, ever increasing, meaning more and more salam, more and more salam on him. Like, for example, it may happen with you that you make dua for somebody, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a lot of ajr, and then you say, and more ajr, and more ajr. It's like as if your heart is not satisfied. No matter how much dua you've made for them, you feel like they deserve more dua. So no matter how much salat and salam is sent on the Prophet ﷺ, taslima mazida, he deserves even more. Inshallah, I'll explain the meaning of the last part of this opening of the khutbah in our next class, which will be tomorrow because the time is up. But I would like you to quickly read this text to yourself, right now, everybody together. Okay, alhamdulillah. Your homework is that you have to read this text again, page number 3 in your book. All right, read this, practice it. If there's any word that the tashkil is not proper, make sure you fix it. And another homework that I would like you to do is share with at least one person the importance of knowing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Inshallah. And tomorrow when I'll give you your group activity, one activity will also be related to finding the meaning of one of the words in the dictionary. So those of you who would like to get more ajr, please bring a dictionary tomorrow. Because everyone who looks into the book from your classmates, whoever looks into it, understands, inshallah, you will also be rewarded for that. Okay? Arabic to English, or Arabic to Urdu, whichever one you prefer. Okay? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.